Throughout the great controversy regarding the Ramchal's status, and there was literally great Rabbonim, many Rabbonim on each side. Some supported Ramchal and some were against him. But in spite of all the so-called indictments that others had against him, we find that some of the greatest Gedolei Yisrael believed very much in the Ramchal, to the extent that they lowered themselves to become Talmidim of Ramchal and to come to learn from him when it came to the area of Kabbalah. Probably the elder or the oldest of the Balam Ukabolim at that time, the time Ramchal in the 1700s, was Rabbi Yonah HaKohen. Rabbi Yonah HaKohen is known by the name of the Rabach. We had mentioned him. Rabbi Yonah HaKohen was the Shver, the father-in-law of the Rabbi Shaya Basan, who was the Rebbe of the Ramchal. Okay, so you realize that's going back like two generations, in a sense, before the Ramchal. Rabach was considered to be the greatest Baal Mekubal of his time, and we have letters which have been published. You see, the Rabach, the greatest Baal Mekubal, he was already, by the way, the Zaken Ador also. He was quite old, very old, and Ramchal was only in his 20s, and the Rabach, Rabbi Yonah HaKohen, writes letters to the Ramchal, asking him that Ramchal should tell him what his Shayrish Nisham is from. So the great Baal Mekubal, the greatest, a man already very much advanced in age, asked Ramchal, who was only in his 20s, that Ramchal should tell him, reveal to him, the Shayrish of his Nishama. In addition, the Rabach, Rabbi Yonah HaKohen, also had various other issues in his life, turmoil that he went through, and he needed to know some explanation, what's causing it, what's bringing it about upon himself. And in fact, so again, he inquired from Ramchal to try to explain to him why this is happening to him, what is the message, what is Shemayim, what does heaven want from him, and Ramchal offers and gives him an explanation. So it's really an incredible thing to see how one of the Ziknei Hador, one of the greatest Baalim Ukabalim, by the way, Ramchal's Rebbe's father-in-law. Ramchal's Rebbe was a Bishai Basan, who was on the Gedolei Hador in Nigla, and his father was Binyamin HaKohen. And Binyamin HaKohen again was from Reggio in Italy, and Bishai Basan was the Rav of Reggio. Interesting also one of the great Gedolei Yisrael of the time, who also basically came and supported Ramchal, with someone by the name, might have mentioned before, the name is Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti, the Baal Pachad Yitzchok, not to be confused with Rav Hutnis Pachad Yitzchok. Here we're going back many years earlier. Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti was born in 1670, and he was Nifter in 1756, and he was basically, that's where in Italy he was born, in Ferrara, and that's basically where he set up shop. And he was a tremendous Mabitstoyer. In addition to that, he was a Boki of all the sciences. As a matter of fact, in Padua he studied medicine, as we saw. That was very, very common in those days, that great Gedolei Yisrael were accomplished in the field of medicine. He also was that way. He was known as to be a Boki Bechol Chad Ritoyer Nish Tzadik or Isisdok of Vechesed, and clearly one of the Gedolei Yisrael. When we were in Italy, one of the parts where we put on our itinerary is to go to Ferrara, and we did. And we walked through the streets there, because one of the interesting things specifically in Ferrara is that there happens to be a house where there happens to be a plaque where there's written, engraved on the plaque, it says, Babai Sazeh, in this house, Gor Yitzchok Lamprunti. This house was the house that Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti lived, and it says the date of his birth and the date of his patira. And that house still stands, and we managed to find it. We made our way further from there on to the old Beis HaChaim, trying to find some remnants of a caver, possibly of Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti. But we already had information in the beginning, is that at the time when he was Nifter, by decree of the Pope, there was no Jewish Matseva on a Jewish cemetery that was allowed to be erected. So you knew that there was no Matseva going back even from the beginning. But nevertheless, but the old cemetery is still there. There's still a shrine. You can see stones. You can see some Matseva is actually, well, you see somewhere that they did happen somehow to push out there. So we knew we were in the area, although you could never identify with exact Mokim was. So we took the opportunity to actually speak and learn some Torah of Rabbi Yitzchok Lamprunti. Mechaber the Pachad Yitzchok. Pachad Yitzchok is a enormous, incredible encyclopedia. One man without a computer, without anything else, something 15 to 20 volumes. Goes up Yisrael of the Aleph days, taking topics from Aleph, all kinds of topics of Aleph, all types of comp, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, going on and on and on. All of his money that he had, basically, he would give away for tzedakah. In addition, as a doctor, he felt the best time to treat patients was, he said, before Alois HaShachar, before dawn. So you can imagine, so you know what he did? What he did is he lit a candle, with electricity those days, he lit a candle, would be walking with a candle, holding candle with him, going from house to house, wherever he had, felt to make his house calls in order to treat patients. Goyim and Jews alike didn't make a difference who it was, and he was very tremendously highly respected. So the Pachad Yitzchak is really, it's one of a kind. It's an amazing work by any standard. Even having computers today, to try to reproduce a Pachad Yitzchak, Kamat would not be shaykh, certainly not by one person, and he did it all on his own. In addition to that, there was a general Mabestoy, and he said he was a physician. That was it. So basically, he did most of his learning at night on his own. That's most of his writing, rather. He would do it at night time. Interesting that he left that Savoy, he said that before his Petira, he said that the Oren in which he used to be buried, he should be made, he said, from the old tables, he says, in the Beis Medrash that he used to sit and learn by, to take the wood of the Shulchanos and use that. That would be a testimony, Shemayim, that he studied a lot of Torah. And he also had engraved, these words had engraved on the wood that would be used, the following words, Habet Yeludisha, he says, make sure that you observe, Yeludisha means a human being, born of a woman, Vazoev Darkecho, make sure to abandon your old ways, Ki Ad Haloim, he says, Bo Achris Kol Gever, because here everybody ends up over here. So make sure, while you still have time, to change your ways. As Bairacho, your creator, be made Bachurusacho Tizkar. Don't wake up too late. Remember the Bairoilam, he says, while you're still young. And then the Tosus, you'll be able to rejoice, he says, B'yem HaKever, when the day comes, when you leave this world. Anyway, so that's the Pachad Yitzchak. So Pachad Yitzchak, being with the Gedola Hador, he himself goes to visit Ramchal to learn Kabbalah from him. That's what makes it. So he makes his way from Ferrara, he makes his way to Padua to learn from Ramchal. As a matter of fact, he spent Shabbos there also. As Ramchal writes in a letter to his Rebbe, who do you think came here for Shabbos? He says, Rabbi Yitzchak Lampunti is here. So writes Ramchal to his Rebbe, Rabbi Shaya Bosan. And he left a message, Rabbi Yitzchak Lampunti, and he says the following. He says, Be'einai ro'isi, with my own eyes I saw how Ramchal was writing Chiddush HaTorah. And what do you think I saw? I saw that the Ramchal would write Seydes HaTorah, Keherifayin, in the blink of an eye, he would fill up the whole page. It would be like the pen wrote by itself. He writes, the Loshon is, Keherifayin hoi memalei daf godol, ma she'ein boser v'dom yochoi laso izoisim loy b'siyati nishmai v'derech nes. It means if Ramchal took pen to paper, the moment like it touched the paper was filled. It's filled with writing already. Mamishke Herifayim. So this is the edus of Rabbi Yitzchak Lampunti. Also, another one of the great Balam Ukubolim of the door was somebody by the name of Rabbi Aviad Tsar Shalom, Bazilo. This is Rabbi Aviad Tsar Shalom, Rabbi Isai, was a great Gadol by the name, as we say, Aviad Tsar Shalom, very unusual name, and who lived in Mantova, and we visited Mantova, and his kever probably has to be, because there's an army base from the ancient Beis HaChaim, that's what it is. But that's the big plaque. It says the Ramam Mepana was buried over here, and the Ramaz, Ramesh Zakuta, was also buried over here. It's not mentioned all the other Gadol Yisrael there also, because they also are buried there in Mantova, and among them is Rabbi Aviad Tsar Shalom. He was one of the Gedola Hador, just to give you an idea who Rabbi Aviad Tsar Shalom was, that the Orachaim HaKodesh, by the way, you know, wrote another Sefer? Another few? It's not just Orachaim HaKodesh. Orachaim HaKodesh is on Chumash. Orachaim HaKodesh wrote a Sefer called Avnei Chefes on Masechtas Brachos. And that's a Sefer you don't see around too much, possibly, because Orachaim HaKodesh himself writes in the Hagdomah, that anyone who's to open the Sefer to learn it, should only be allowed to learn if you're learning Torah Lishma. If you don't learn Torah Lishma, don't open my sefer. No, so who's going to open the sefer? he already warned you against it. And he writes about serious things might happen to you if you look into the sefer. But then the Orchaim calls you a sefer on halacha, and your day is called pre toyar. On the Sefer Pritoyar, Orchaim HaKodesh takes a haskoma from Rabavi Adsar Shalom. He takes a haskoma from him, from that Baal Mekubal. So you can imagine, Orchaim HaKodesh takes a haskoma from him. And this Rabavi Adsar Shalom goes to Ramchal to learn Kabbalah from Ramchal as well. So it's just amazing. And now that he wrote many, many letters to protect him and to defend Ramchal from those that oppose him as well. So as you can see, that there were many, many that who supported Ramchal, but nevertheless the hands of the Sultan had the upper hand in this one, and Ramchal Lamaise did not fare very well, which we'll talk in Meshe more about that in the future. So what we do now, let's take a look. So as I go to the Derech Hashem, Ramchal, what we're doing is the beginning of Perek Shlishi, is Daf Lamed Aleph. You'll take a look in the bottom, in the editions that we have over here. Okay, Perek Shlishi, Daf Lamed Aleph. Okay, Ramchal says as follows. Ramchal goes on to say, he says, Kvar Zacharnu. He says, we have already discussed previously that Hayos Odom Oysa Haberia Hanivreis L'Dovik Bo Yizborach. Let's remember again, let's just quickly summarize. Ramchal pointed out and he said, being that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Shleimus of Shleimus, there's no one who is as perfect as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No human being that was created by Hashem is perfect. Perfect is only by a human being in relation to someone who's less perfect. So they say he's perfect. But each person, individual person, no such thing as being a Shleimus in perfection. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And being HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, also HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Toiv and Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness is also perfect. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to impart Chesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also imparts something that's perfect in goodness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu imparts something that's perfect in goodness. Now how can a human being who is less than perfect receive perfect goodness? Ramchal says is by Tveikas Bashem. By attaching yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should become a chelik of Hashem himself. By following the ways of Hashem, by serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by emulating V'halachta B'drachov, by following the ways of Hashem, so now you become Uludov Kaboy, you become connected to Hashem. If you become connected to Hashem, so therefore you're able to receive the so-called perfect goodness according to how much attachment you have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Upon the tachlis of a man in this world is Dveikas Bashem, to as much as possible to continuously grow in his Dveikas Bashem, become attached to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said now the Ramchal, being that we said, man is of all creations, only man is the creature Hanivreis that was created Ledovik Bo Yizborach Shemoi. He was created in order to attach himself to Hashem. V'hi Hamuteles Ben Hashleimus V'Chisroinus. Only man is placed between perfection and deficiency, but he was given the power to earn perfection. So man himself, when he's created, he's in the middle. Man is created, as he says, he's Muteles Ben Hashleimus V'Chisroinus. So man basically is placed between perfection and deficiency. Now he has to choose. Because now he's in the middle of a crossroads. He's in the middle of a crossroads. Either choose the path of Shleimus or the other direction. But Hashem gave you the ability to be able to achieve that which you choose. Because God did not just throw you into the soil without giving you the weapon, without giving you the ammunition. Because God gave the ammunition. However, he says, man must earn this perfection through his own free will. In other words, no one, Shemayim is not going to push you to it. Shemayim is not, yes, a person can have Sati Dishmai. You know when you have Sati Dishmai? When you yourself use your own efforts, right, to choose, then Hashem says, you know what? I see this is what you want to do. I see this is what you're trying to do. I'm going to help you. But if you yourself don't make that choice, Shemayim is not going to push you. So that's why the Ramchal says, Sorech Shiyeh Zeh B'Bchirosoi Resoinoi. The path that man decides to choose, he's not forced to do it. It has to be b'bchiroso, his own free will, and rutzoina, his desire. Why? Ki ilu hoye mukhra b'maisof. Because if man would be forced towards perfection, If man would be forced towards perfection, he is boicher al kofonim bishleimus, right? Then he says, he would not be considered to be the master of the shleimus. If he'd be forced to do it, then he would not be considered to be the master of the shleimus. It was not he that did it. He was forced to do it min shemayim. Because he was compelled to do it. So who would then be responsible? HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be responsible. It means the one who forced you will be the one responsible. And Amela, Hashem's purpose in creating you would not be fulfilled. He says, Hashem's purpose for creating, if Hashem would force you in one way or another, so Hashem's purpose in creating would not have been fulfilled. So therefore, Al Kain, Huchrach, therefore it must be, it was necessary, Sheyunach Hadovah Lebchorosoi. It's left up to him. Any path in this world, you can do whatever you want. You have free choice. Hashem placed a balance. Man has a balance. There's a balance to this way, to that way. And he's not forced, he's not compelled towards any derech. He has the power of choice. Right? He has the power of choice, which means to say, but to choose knowingly and to choose willingly the Eza Men Sheyirtze, any side that he wants to. But again, he says, Ramchal says, Vayecholes Gam Ken Biyodoy. Many times, man says, I would like to do the right thing, I can't do it. I can't do it. Ramchal says, Vayecholes Gam Ken Biyodoy. You have the ability to do it. You're able to choose either side, Liknos Eza Men Sheyirtze. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu, which will put you in an area of a balance, has given you both sides. Al-Kei Nivra Odom. Therefore, man was created with a balance of B'yetzer Toiv or B'yetzer Ra. Right? He has good urges, B'yetzer Toiv, and he has bad urges, which is from the B'yetzer Ra. Ha-Bechira B'yodoy. But he has the power, L'Hatoi Satsumoy, to incline himself with Tzad Shuhuroitze. So now, so it comes out, so this is the tachlis of man, very clearly. Kodesh Baruch Hu throws a man into this world, yet there are a lot of challenges in this world. However, man has the ability, he has the yecholus, he is given, first of all, the right to choose. Now he has the right to choose, but once he makes the decision, also yecholus b'yodoy. But man has to make the first step, and has to try. We find in Chazal, with the Chazosh who says, Pischuli pesach yepischu shomachat, at least show me, open the door a little bit like the eye of a needle, and I will open the door much more. Chazal say, habole tahir mistayin oisoy. If you show that you want to purify yourself, then you'll be zechet to siyati dishmaya. But the other side is also true. Habolatameh poischinloi. Someone wants to seek tumah, the door is open for him as well. But there's a difference that Chaim Shulamavi says. Habolatameh, it says misayinoi soy. It doesn't simply say we open the door. We actually help you. We assist you. For taharish, your mind goes extra to assist you. Habolatameh doesn't say we assist you. We open the door. As we allow you. Okay, go ahead. Do it. Habolatameh poischinloi. Now, continue the Ramchal further. Kodesh Baruch Hu has created man in order to have the balance between good and evil. So man is a composite of a guf and a neshama. And as long as man is alive, there's a constant struggle between the guf and the neshama. The guf demands something else, and the neshama demands. And b'derech hateva, the guf and the neshama are two opposites that would not be able, by the way, to coexist and to live side by side. They are arch enemies. The guf and what the neshama wants, the guf abhors. And dafke what the guf wants is the opposite. So says Ramchal, because Baruch Hu gave man both properties, Ulam Hayyos Hadover Hazen Nishlam Karo. In order that Hashem's goal be best achieved, Hashem gave man the ingredients, right? What ingredients? In order for Hashem's goal to be best achieved, Gozra Chochmo Yoino. So Hashem's upper wisdom, right, decreed that what? That I should make man. Hashem said to himself, in order for my goal to be achieved, how am I going to make man? So Hashem says, Sheyiyo Odom Murkeh Mishnei Hafeichem. Man is going to consist of two opposites. Neshama and Guf, part of one man and two opposites. Mamish, two opposites. The Haina, Minishomo, on the one hand, man has a Neshama Sichlis Vizako. A man has a pure spiritual neshama. right? A man has a pure spiritual neshama. Mitzad Hasheni v'guf arzi v'ochur. He has, he says, an obscure physical body. So here we have a spiritual entity, the neshama, and then you have the obscure physical body, and they're not merely two opposites, but they actually push a person in different directions. They drag a person. They're different impulses. She called Echor Mehem. Each of these components, the neshama on one hand, and the guf on the other hand, Yita Beteva Letzidoi. Each one is drawn towards its own nature. The guf is drawn to its own nature. It lusts, it desires, it pursues what it wants. The neshama, on the other hand, rejects all of that. It's trying to go to the other side. As he points out, the Ainu. Haguf, for example, where is the guf drawn to? The guf is drawn to the chumrius. The guf is drawn to the material. The neshama, on the other hand, is attached, it leans, l'sichlius, to the spiritual. So now, v'timotze b'neyem milchoma. What means is that you have a milchoma, these two are in a constant state of battle. Therefore, we should not be surprised. At least once we should realize a bracha, which is a tremendous bracha. A bracha that we say many, many times a day. And how much we should appreciate that and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we are healthy enough to be able to use the facilities without any problem. And we say the bracha of Asher Yotzar Sodom, thanking Hashem. Every place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the human body, if one thing malfunctions, doesn't work, we know what the problems are. We know how you have to have that big machine, right, called dialysis, right, to take care of that little, small little kidney. It's this amazing, amazing little thing. And it doesn't work a half of a hundredth of a percent to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So we say that bracha, we say, Reifei Chol Bosa, we conclude the bracha. Hashem heals, right? In fields, all the flesh, all the inhabitants, it says, umafli lasois, and he does wondrous things. What are the wondrous things we're talking about? Well, on a simple level, of course, the human body, because you've already created human bodies, we say, nekovim, that there are orifices, and there are orifices, and there's holes, and there's the, if anything should go wrong, we say it should be a pesach, if that which is open would close, that which is closed would open, we'd be disaster. So everything works in harmony. Mafli lasois, it's a pillar. But the Ramon Shulchan Aruch has a different pshat. Mafli Lazas is, in order for this living being to be able to be alive, Hashem had to give a neshama into the guf. And b'derech ha-teva, according to the laws of nature, a neshama and guf should not be able to coexist side by side. It's impossible. In the same way that Eish and Mayim, Chovis HaVovah says, the same way that fire and water cannot coexist side by side, unless there's a separation between them. Yeah, you put a pot in between them. Put water into a pot and fire underneath, right? Then they can both coexist. That's why, by the way, remember Reb Moshe Benet, the Nicholas Bugerov, contemporary of Chassam Sofer, said the Gemara tries, you know, to give us something when you dream certain things. So the Gemara tells us the interpretation of certain dreams. The Gemara says, Haroya Kedei Rebbe Sholem, if you dream, you see a pot in your dream, Yitzapel Sholem, you can hope for peace. What does a pot have to do with peace? He says, I'll explain it to you, he says. Fire and water are arch enemies, but the pot makes peace between the two. Put water into the pot, letting the fire underneath, and they both live b'sholem. That's fine, it's fine. So, Haroya Kedei Rebbe Sholem, if you see a pot, in a dream, it's happy l'sholem. It's a message in the Shemaim. You can hope that you're going to have peace in your life. So Shemaim cannot coexist. The neshama and the guf should also not be able to coexist, and they do. That's a pella, he says. Reifa Chobos umafli la says that is the pella. That is a tremendous. That's such a wondrous thing. It's an incredible thing. They say from the Alter von Kelm on the great Balamuser, he once pointed out, says, in the world of Shatchonis, you know, trying to matchmaking, at all times they're more professional, less professional, good ones, bad ones, you know. Said the worst Shatchin, it'll never occur to him to make a shidduch, he said, to a human being and an animal. He said, no such thing. And here came a Kodesh Baruch Hu and made a shidduch between a guf and a neshama. I don't understand that shidduch, he says. What kind of shidduch? Putting together a guf and a neshama. How is this supposed to work? So this is what the Ramchal is telling us. The Timotze b'nei milchoma. You're going to find there's always a milchoma. There's always a war, there's a struggle. And there's conflict between the neshama and the guf. So then now, if there's war, so what are the rules of war? The rules of war is that each side tries to overpower the other. So either the neshama is going to overpower the guf, so the neshama is going to be in control, and the guf, the body, will do the bidding of the neshama. You're living a life of kedusha, a life of holiness, a life of purity, Or maybe the other way, that the guf, that the body will overpower the neshama, and then the neshama becomes subdued to the guf, and that's what the war is all about. So he says, "Ba'oifen." He says, "This is the way it works. That she'im tigbar haneshama. That if the neshama, that if the soul prevails, tis alahi us ala haguf ima. So then the neshama, if the neshama wins, not only the neshama becomes elevated, but it elevates with it the guf also." Because now the guf becomes subordinate to the neshama. The neshama is the one that is dominant force in the life of a person. So together with the neshama, the guf also becomes elevated. He's identified kulay as neshama. Then this is the man, right? This is the man. If he's successful, that the neshama in his life is the dominant force, that's the man that Kadosh Baruch Hu intended when he created man. Hamishtalim bishleimus hameusod. He is the man that attains his destined perfection. Which man? The man who succeeded at his neshama overpowers the guf. On the other hand, v'imyaniach odom. If man allows the physical to prevail, then he's in trouble. That v'imyaniach odom shinatzach boy hachomer. So if man allows that the physical, right, should prevail, then not only the guf, not only the guf has a yirida, the neshama goes down with it. He takes everything down. Not only the body, but besides the body, also the neshama goes down together with it, he says. So the year, so obviously this individual is now built to hoga neshleimus. This person now is unfit for perfection. And will be kept far from it, chaz v'sholem, he says. However, you can still turn it around. It doesn't mean it has to remain that way. Even if you lost the battle once, what are you doing in war? You win some, you lose some. Comes the Michal, he says, "V'lodom hazeh." But this man, maybe on occasion, or maybe in this time you lost, and therefore the neshama became bottled to the guf. The guf became the dominant force. But v'lodom hazeh still yecholus lahashpil chomroi. Man still retains the ability. He's able to subjugate the physical. He can subjugate the physical, have the physical become bottle, lifnei sichloi v'nishmosoi, to his soul and to his intellect, and the likma shleimusoi, and then again achieve perfection, k'moshe zechanu. So therefore, this is the works. So this is a constant battle. So realize, so a man, right, he lives his 120, whatever it is, 80, 90, as much as Hashem gives him. So he has a battle throughout his career of his life. So assuming that he was fighting, right, for 50, 60 years, he was struggling. He was struggling for 50, 60 years. Well, according to the way of this world, a man gets paid either by the hour, or he gets paid by a certain scale. So a person puts in 50 years first worth of work, so the schar is accordingly, right? What is the, you evaluate, what is the value of effort? 50 years worth of effort, and according to that scale, you get paid. Ramchal says, Bakurish Baruch, it doesn't work that way. Those 50 years that you put in were only 50 years, but the reward is forever. The reward is forever. You had a struggle for 50 years. It wasn't easy. 50 years. But the rewards of those 50 years is not only be 50 years in Shemayim. 50 connected 50. Those 50 years that you struggled, that the neshama should be the dominant force in your life, that's how he says will be eternal. Let's take a look at the next four lines. V'omnom, he says, however, God, in other words, there's a time element for struggle, but there's unlimited time for reward. That's what the Michal is saying over here. That's an amazing thing to behold, to realize. V'ulam, he says again, v'omnom. Vonomid points out, he says, Goza Tuva is Borach Shemoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goodness, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu's goodness was Goza decreed. Sheyeh Gvul Lehechtavlus. Hashem doesn't expect you, to struggle, for the next million years. There's a Gvul. There's a Gvul to your Hechtavlus, to your effort, Hazeh, to this effort to attain Shleimus. Hamistarech Leodom Hasik HaShleimus. Once the period of your effort is completed, right, and you leave this world, yasvik shleimusoi v'yonuach bahanosoi lenetzach nitzochim. He says, that struggle that you struggled, which is for a limited amount of time, as much as a person lives, but he says that you will be zoiche to enjoy it, he says, l'netzach nesofim, forever and ever, for all eternity. Therefore, al kein, so therefore what it means is, Hashem therefore created two distinct periods. Hashem created two distinct periods. Al kein, huche kuguloi, shnei zmanin. Hashem creates two distinct periods. What are the two periods? One period, echot zman wa'avoda. One is the period of earning, 50 years, 40 years, 70 years, wherever man lives. Echot zman kiblaschar. But then there's another time, which is the zman of kiblaschar. However, which is more? The zman of receiving schar outnumbers by far, far, many, many, many times over the zman that was expected to do the ishtablus, to do the effort. That's where the next line he says. But as a general rule, he says, that which is pertains to good is always greater. Shavoida, the struggle that you have to do on this world is limited. Shavoida, yesh lo zman mechukik. Right? The period, he said, of your effort, he says, that has a particular fixed time. How long? As long as Hashem gives you life. That's up to Hashem. According to what is suitable for you, Hashem knows what, how much years is suitable for you. That's the zman that you put in your effort. But the kibul haschar ein loy tachlis. But the period of reward, he says, that has no limit. El neitzach nisochem. But man will continue to always derive pleasure. Who misaneg v'hoylech, he will have tainug, he will continue that pleasure, b'shleimus asher konoloi, based upon the shleimus that he was able to be koine, to achieve in the time that Hashem gave him for that. So here we stop with this nekud over here now, and to see Rabbi Isai a little bit, in the spirit of the Yontif of Chanukah, we have something which relates to what Ramchal is telling us, the struggle between the guf and the neshama. There's a struggle between the guf and the neshama. Hopefully man will be matzliach, that the neshama should be the dominant force. That is the avodah sodom. So let's take a look, Rabbi Isai, a little bit on the sheet. There is a remez brought down in the early Achreinim, in the Shulta Giborim, on the Posuk in Parshas Miketz. In Parshas Miketz there's a remez for Chanukah. You might be aware, because Chanukah always works out to be Parshas Miketz. And the Posuk tells us that Yosef sees when Binyamin was brought down to him, because that was the whole thing, they didn't want to bring Binyamin at first. Yaakov Inu was reluctant, but ultimately he had no choice. The Pasuk says, Vayar Yosef itom es Binyamin. Yosef saw that Binyamin came with them. So Vayomer, so Yosef commands and he says, La Asher al Beso, he says to those, right, but who served in his house, he says, Hove Yasanoshim Abeso, I want you to invite the people, it means his brothers, I want to invite them to my house. And it says, Utvayach Tevach Vehochein, and I want to slaughter meat and prepare for them. Utvayach Tevach, we're going to give them a flesh of Yisuda. Utvayach tevach vehochem. So look right over here. These are the words of the Shulta Kibayim. It's at the end of this paragraph. You see it in brackets on the bottom. Shulta Kibayim is printed on the side in the Mordechai in Masechta Shabbos in the Sugya of Chanukah. Shulta Kibayim, one of the early Achreinim. He writes as follows from Italy. Berayv Hashonim. Listen to what he says. Berayv Hashonim. He says Chanukah chal bepashas mikates. In most years, Chanukah comes out pashas mikates v'simonach. And there's a number of simonim in Parshas Miketz that alludes to Chanukah. Vahi Miketz shenasayim yomim, right? It was the end of the 2 years that Yosef HaTzadik was in confinement. Shenasayim noitreken is the Rosh Tevis. Break up the letters. Shin nun sof yud mem. Smoil ner tadlik yemin mezuzah. Right? The ner Chanukah is on the left side, and the right side is mezuzah. Shenasayim. Smoil ner tadlik. Yemin mezuzah. Fine. Then he says, "Va'ani yontif hakoseiv kabalti simen achar." I have a kabbalah, another simen. He says, "The parshas of Miketz on the posuk utvayach tevach v'hochein." See the posuk. Take the word tevach. What's the last letter of the word tevach? It's a ches. What's the next word? V'hochein. Ches, and the next four words is the letters of Chanukah. Ches. Tevach, right? Ches and Vahochein. So Mameli says haches metevach v'hateva min v'hochein, and take the word hochein him oisiyas chanike. Right, so take the ches of tevach. Right, straight. Take the ches together with the next four letters comes out chanike. What is the remez of chanike in that word? The remez that chanike one should prepare extra suda. Suda is chanike. Doesn't mean necessarily Chanukah parties, Rabbi Yisai, but it means Sudas Chanukah. So, Ches V'Hochen, Tvoyach Tevach V'Hochen, means preparing a Suda. Tvoyach Tevach V'Hochen, prepare a Suda. So the remez of those words, you have Chanukah. A remez is to prepare a Suda. The Semach, this is the Semach, which means this comes to give you a little bit of a riot. L'Seudo Yishayisim Chanukah. Then furthermore, take the letters, voices, utvoyach tevach, like to shecht and to slaughter. The words of tvoyach tevach, the gematry of those words is mem dalet, 44. Tvoyach tevach is mem dalet, kemaya neris. Add up all the neris of Chanukah is 44. Because we, why? We add 1, 2, 3, add them all up. Plus you have, the, as he points out, it's keminyan lamed vav neris, because you have 36 neris Chanukah, 8 days of Chanukah, 36, and the 8 shamash. 8 shamashim. So then together with the shamashim, so you have, fine, okay. So kuponim, so here we have a remez, tvoyach tevach v'hochein. So we have the Shulchan Kibbayim brings down that this is the remez of Chanukah. So we have here a vort from the Sefer Dibros Kodesh, you have it from the Bob of a Roof, from the Heintik and Bob of Rebbe, from Ot Chaduvet. And he said a very interesting thing. They sent me in a pamphlet a number of years ago. And it's over here we have like this. Very interesting thing, an interesting thought about the other Chanukah related to this remez and related with what Ramchal is talking about here, about the struggle between the guf and the neshama. Here's the big Gemara. The Gemara tells us my Chanukah, right? The question is my Chanukah. There's two ways of learning that question. Some are showing Rashi says my Chanukah means on which Ness was Chanukah established. Because Chanukah had two Nisim. One was the victory over the Yevonim, that was the Nes of the Muhammad, the Tzochin Muhammad, and the other was the miracle of the oil. So my Chanukah means which aspect, over which Nes are we celebrating Chanukah? Al Eiz the Nes Kavua, Rashi says. But others want to learn, my Chanukah means, what is the name of Chanukah? What is the name? Why is it called Chanukah? If you learn that way, the question isn't answered. Because what does the Brisa say? Tell us about the miracle of the oil. Now where in the miracle of the oil does it represent the word Chanukah? Where in the word Chanukah do you see the miracle that happened with Yishemim? Let's take a look over here. Because on the my Chanukah, the Tonu Rabbanon, the Gemara brings a Brisa that we learned, Kishenichlitzwa Yevonim Lahechol, where the Yevonim goes into the Echol, the Greeks, the whole story, they only found one, right? One cruse of oil, one pitcher of oil. Because the Nest happened, that burned 8 days, even though it was only enough for one day. Because of Mefarsh of Chenir Maharan, the Kavonis HaGemara, when the Gemara asked, B'Shelos Mai Chanukah, Hual Tam Kriyas Hayom Im Hoel B'Shel Chanukah. Why is it called Chanukah? V'Heim Uva'arim Kolechol V'Yidakah, and all the Mefarshim, according to their own way, they try to explain how does the victory of the Yevonim and the oil, how does it fit in the word Chanukah? Where does the word Chanukah denote that? Chanukah has nothing to do with oil, the word Chanukah has nothing to do with victory. So each one tried to explain in their own way, hey, how is it? Shanisochim Shalom Yevonim, V'Neis Hashem, and how are they merumas in the Shem Chanukah? How does the word Chanukah, right, contain either the Ness of the oil, the word Chanukah, or the Ness of the Muhammad? Okay. So brings down an Agdim, he says, so let's start Chodesh about Goyis Mordechai. We have on the Goyis of the Mordechai in the Shulchan Kibbayim what we quoted a moment ago. Remez l'chanike, what do we have? The remez? The posik in our parsha, it says, Utvoyach tevach v'hochein sheyeshkan v'oisis chanike. Right? Fine. So we have to see, v'ef sheloyim ha-shebremezeh gonus hatam al shem chanike. We try to establish that the name of Chanukah is really represented in these words. In other words, these words are going to give us the message of Chanukah. What Chanukah is all about. Ubehegdim. We start with the Hagdomah, which is Omer Azal. In the Sefer Sofos, we see the following. Rabbi Yankiv Omer, Rabbi Yankiv says, Ho'olam hazeh doyma leprozer. This world is only a hallway. Bifnei olam habo. This world is only a hallway which we travel through this world to reach Olam Haba. And therefore, says Rabbi Yankiv, Haskein Atzmacha B'proza, make sure that you prepare everything while you are in this hallway, Kadesh Yitikon to Traklon, to be able to enter the mansion. So Olam Haba is the mansion. This world is only the prisoner. It's only the thoroughfare. And therefore, to be able to enter, you know, when you enter the palace, the mansion, there's a guard standing over there. And he says, yeah, you need a pass. You want to come in, you need a pass. What's the pass? You have to open a suitcase of Torah mitzvahs. You have to take out all that. That's what you have. You can expect it. You can see it. You can put it through a, what do you call this, x-ray machine. They're going to see what are you bringing along here, over here. And they're going to see things that are not appropriate. This is, yeah. So in the middle of it, this world is a pleasure. So this world is the whole way to take you into Olam Haba. This always has to be studied. This is a fundamental, right? This is a fundamental yesod in the life of a yid. Lodas, always to remember. Always in the forefront of your mind to remember. That is, shekol ho'olam hazeh einoy ele prozer. This world is not the ikar. This world is not the tachlis. This world is only the prozer lehochein boy. That's the word. This world is a hachone. This world is a preparation. Because next world you can't. Next world too late. There's no schusim in next world. You cannot earn anything. There are no mitzvahs to earn. This world is when you have to do it. The tzorach adam, therefore, lisko is zois tomin. Man always has to remember this. That what? That this world is the hachona. She'eino ela oiver. The word should be oiver. Oiver oirach b'olam hazeh. He's only a passing guest. That's what you are. You're only a passing guest going through Olam Hazeh. The chol tanuge Olam Hazeh, and all the pleasures of this world, kakesef ukedoyim, like money and similar, einam ela tofel. This is only a tofel. The emsoi, it is secondary to be able to use for Avodas Hashem. You need money to buy tzitzis. You need money to buy tefillin. You need money, dalet minim, an esrik. You need dalet minim, tuition for your children. You need dalet minim to support almonas, yisoyimim, everything, tzedakah v'chet. You need, everything is for mitzvahs. Rabbi said the word, Rabbi Sai, remember from Amir Purim Shlaner. Tehillim Kuf Yutes, what does the Pesuk say there? Tzerufa mitzvah chamayoi, remember the word? Tzerufa mitzvah chamayoi, David HaMelech says, Va'avdecha aheva. So Amir Purim Shlaner, the Kavana, this is what the Pesuk means. The word ma'oid also means money. What's the raya? Va'avdecha Hashem lekecha, v'chol levavcha, you love Hashem with all your heart. Right? So the word ma'oid means money. So a mer promishlan is a funny thing. All mitzvahs are connected with money. You want to do a mitzvah, it's money, it costs money. Whatever you need, money. One of mezuzah, money. Everything is money. Kosher meat, money. Everything is money. So mitzvahs are connected with money. Serufa mitzvoscha ma'oid. Your mitzvahs are connected with money. Therefore I love money. He said, that's why I love the money. Not for the money, for the money. I love the money. Look how much good I can do with the money. That's the tachlis. I see all the mitzvahs I connect with money. So money has a purpose. Serufa mitzvahs chamayit. Your mitzvahs are connected with money. So Abduchah means your servant. Abduchah Heva. So that's the talk that we always have to remember. That all of that is only a hachona to be able to buy. Yeah, kesef. You're not supposed to buy with the money. With the money, you're supposed to buy Olam Haba. How do you buy Olam Haba? By using the money for positive things. By using the money, you're using the money to buy. You're actually buying Olam Haba. Yes, the money is being used to buy, but you're buying Olam Haba. Now, the Yidum is for Magdashim. Shagam Gufa Odom. That also the body of a person is a Kli Hachon Ala Neshomim. That's what Ramachal was talking about. The body was really made to contain, as via container for the Neshomah. That was the intention. The intention was that the body should serve as a Hachon to allow the Neshomah, right? To allow the Neshomah to pursue Ruchnius. The Neshomah itself has no limbs, not able to do. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave, right, the Neshomah a Guf, that the Guf, right? That through the guf, the neshama will be able to achieve perfection and holiness in Kedusha. So first, let's remember that the guf also, the guf is not intended for gashmizik purpose. The gashmizik purpose is intended to serve Hashem. Shegam guf ha'odom hi kekli, it's like a kli ha'chon ala neshama. Ki guf ha'odom hu choy memoel mazeh. Because the guf of a person is the material of this world. Vaneshama is ruchnius. Vachatzuva, the neshama is being excavated. What is the neshama being excavated? Hashem excavated the neshama from the kisa kovet. The word is kisa kovet, Rosh Hashanah. Vahaguf loy nivra, elo lishamesh es haneshama. That is the tachlis. The guf was only created to serve the neshama. Lias loy lachsanya. In other words, the neshama is like, the guf is hosting the neshama. Think of it that way. The guf is hosting the neshama. That's what it's all about. The guf is hosting the neshama, so the neshama should be able to do whatever it has to do. Go to the top now, Rabbi Yisrael. The next column. Now, let's understand, you're coming to Hanukkah now. What was the objective? What was the lifestyle of the Yevonim? Lifestyle is just the opposite. Lifestyle one is that the guf is bigger. The neshama is not no such thing. The neshama doesn't mean anything. Lifestyle of the Yevonim is Olam Hazeh. The more a person is able to indulge, she says, in the desires and the type of, that's what the world is all about. Yes, they had a lot of chokhma, but they used, it was a chokhma tameya. They also wanted to inject in the Bnei Yisrael the Yisroes. They wanted to ruin the Hashkofas Yisrael. The echad advarim, and one of the things Shirotzul Lalamid, one thing that the Yevonim wanted to teach, Yevonim wanted to change the culture of the Jewish people. In which way? Show ikar yaguf, just the opposite. That the guf is the ikar, the tanuga el mazeh. That's what it's all about. To live in this world, to enjoy pleasure in this world. Kodesh Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says one of the things that Yevonim were gozer on Klal Yisrael. She gozeru al Yisrael. Remember this lesson, we all heard of that before. They said, Kizvo al Keren Ashar, write a message, every Yid should write. Those days they didn't have cars. So what was the mode? It was the shore. So the shore was like the car. So imagine if someone said, put a bumper sticker on your car. Ein lochem chelik b'lekai Yisrael. Today, the Yevonim would live today, and the Chaz Shalom would have the same repetition, they would say, I want you to put a bumper sticker on your car. Ein lochem chelik b'lekai Yisrael. So those days, the bumper sticker was on the shore, because the shore went all over the place. So on the Keren Ashar, that's the advertisement. That's advertisement, reject, renounce, renounce HaKadosh Baruch Hu from your life. Kids while Keren Ashar, write on the Keren, on the horns of the ox, She'ein Lochem Chelik B'Lekai Yisrael. You know what's the Lashon? She'ein Lochem Chelik. You know in the Gemara Lashon, you know what Lochem means? What does the word Lochem always mean? Lochem means for your benefit. Lochem means Heter Hanoah. What does the Gemara say? Psochim Daf Samaches. Every Yontev you have a choice. What's the choice? Either Kulei Lashem, either dedicate it all to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Or to enjoy the Yontev. But when it comes to Shavuos, everybody agrees. The Bina Nama Lochem. What Lochem means? Achilu Vishtiyah. Shavuos, everybody has to also enjoy the Achilu Vishtiyah, the eating, the drinking, the Suda on Yontev Shavuos. Why? Because with the Torah taught us by Matan Torah that the Achil Shtiyah also serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's when Shavuos there's a mitzvah to eat. Being a Nama Lochem. The Lochem means that which belongs to the Guf. That which belongs to the Guf is also Torah. But the Yevonim are saying, watch the words, Ein Lochem Chelik B'Lekai Yisrael. Tanuga Oil Mazeh has nothing to do with Avodas Hashem. They wanted to take out the Lochem from the Lekai Yisrael. The Achil of Ishtiya should be pure Gashmias. Anything that you do in this material world should be Gashmias for the sake of Taiva. Take away the Lochem from the Lekai Yisrael. That's just the opposite of Ashkofes Yisrael. Ashkofes Yisrael is everything that he does is always Achonah for Olam Haba. And Mefarshim say, what does it mean, Ein Lochem? What did Yevonim mean when they said, Ein Lochem Chelik B'Lekai Yisrael? Sheteves Lochem Roimus Leguf. The word Lochem, that's the Roimus of the Guf. So the Yevonim voice like Zeir, Sheyichtavu, the Zeir was that they should write, Yidin should write, Sheein Laha Guf Chelik B'Avodis Alekim. The Neshama is one thing, but not the Guf. In other, when you're davening, fine, okay, you're davening, you're serving Hashem. But when you're eating and drinking, you're serving Hashem. When he walks, when he breathes, when he sleeps, you're serving Hashem. This is something the Yevon could not understand at all. Lochem, the guf cannot have a chelik in Lekai Yisrael. This was the gzeir. The guf is ein la guf chelik b'avodis alekim. El ha guf meyured. The guf is designated his aneg betavas oylam azeh. The ein la noisa. You should not pain the guf. The guf should not be pained. That the guf should be restricted. The guf should be allowed to enjoy whatever the guf desires. That is the Yevonim. Just hefech, which is Ashkofas Yisrael. The Efshel Ramaz Bozeh, he says, very interesting. Why Dafkan Keren Hashor? On the horns of an ox. The Efshel Ramaz, he says, Behold the Gozer Lichtoiv. Why is it that they were Dafke Gozer, that you should write it, or Keren Hashor Dafke? Ki Yedua, Shavoides Hashem, Mutelus Al Hodom, Ki Shor Le'oil Chamoy Lamaso. In other words, we have to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu the same way that the ox works in the field. The ox works for the farmer. We have to serve Hashem. In other words, we have to take upon ourselves, kishor l'oil, we have to have the yoke. The yoke in a Kodesh Baruch Hu is avodah, we have to be like a shor. So it comes out, nimso, shahashor hu moshul avodah v'yigiyah. The shor is always used as a moshul. When you're dealing with work, the shor is the one, right? The shor and the chamor. These are always synonymous. And the pasuk says, v'omar akosuv odom l'omal yulad. Man was created l'omal. Stand here for an easy ride. Man was created for Amelus. What is the Amelus? What is the Omo? What is the avoid of man? Use the avoid of Hashor to break the goof. To break the goof. No, we should not paint the goof. The goof does not have to serve Hashem. It's the Neshama that serves Hashem. There's no such thing as serving Hashem in your material world. There's a spiritual side of you, but then there's the gashmiyah side. The goof is the goof. Don't mix the goof with avodas Hashem. This was the avodim. This was the avodim. This was the emphasized. For as there goes with everything with geizer, kizval, keren, hashor, she'elachem chelik b'lekayis oil. Pirish she'ein la haguf chelik b'nesiyas oil. The goof does not have any chelik in carrying an oil upon itself. Avodas Hashem, which is compared to oil hashor. There's no shor in the goof. The avodas Hashem is this neshama, but not the goof. The goof has no shor to avodas Hashem. So what did Hashem Kodesh Baruch Hu show? That was the gzeir of the Yevonim. Comes Chanukah and open their eyes, enlighten their eyes. The neiros of Chanukah, the oil of Chanukah. The oil of Chanukah enlightened their eyes. They should see the truth, to see the emes. The oil of Hashem, b'neis ha-menoyer, levatel es datum. The neis ha-menoyer was mevatel the dat of the Yevonim. How? Ki oil ha-menoyer, moir al-oil ha-toyer. Because the light of the menoyer is not just on physical light. The oil of menoyer, that's the light of toyer. As the pasuk says, "Kineh mitzvah v'toyor." Not only that, it's also neshama. Neshama is also compared to an air. By the way, yotzat lecht, always an air, always a yotzat lecht, an air. So toyor is an air, and the neshama is an air. Ner Hashem nishma sodom, says the pasuk. So veheir haneis esweinayim. So mele the nearest of Chanukah, right? Heir, it enlightened the eyes to see the truth. Well, hakir shoikiru aneshama, v'haguf eina elo lishamish es aneshama. Kedivah Rabbi Yankiv, like Rabbi Yankiv, we started the Gemara, as we said, the Mishnah Novos, that this Olam Hazeh is only a hallway. This is what we learned from the Nes of Chanukah. From the Nes of Chanukah we learned that this world is only a hallway. From the Nes of Chanukah we learned that the goof is only a hachonah to the neshama. With tvoyach tevach v'hochein, Chanukah teaches us that this world of Gashmis is only a hachonah. That was the Ein of Chanukah. The opposite of the Yevonim, she'ein lochem chelik. The lochem has nothing to do with Avodas Hashem. No, the lochem is just an equal part in Avodas Hashem. Just the opposite. The goof is supposed to enable the neshama. The goof is here to house the neshama, to take in the neshama, and together as a shutzvus, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is Rabbi Yisrael, that is the Nekudah, and that's what Ramchal said, that's the constant struggle that you have between the goof and the neshama. So not time to go further than the other, but we have on the sheet, but let us just conclude with just what we're talking about here, with the struggle with the goof and the neshama. Let me tell you something very interesting. The Shom Chadron in one of his drushes, he pointed out we just had in Parshas Vayishlach. So we had here the struggle. We had the struggle between good and evil. We had the struggle between Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esav. Vayovik Yishim Oyad Alois HaShachar. And again, Rabbi said, Alois HaShachar means till Mashiach comes. We are now, Rabbi said, hopefully we are now in the Zman of Alois HaShachar. It's just now we're reaching dawn. We're reaching the time now when the Oyvah Shel Mashiach. That's what Nechanik is, by the way, the B'nai Soscha says. Orachti Ner L'mshichi. The Balayi, the Ner Chanukah, we are bringing in closer the Oyvah Shel Mashiach. And that is Alois HaShachar. We are now in the Tkufa of Alois HaShachar period. And the struggle until Mashiach came and will come, we have this struggle between the Tov and the Ra. So finally we find out that they were tangling one and the other, and the Malach asks, right, asks Yaakov Avinu, he says, what's your name? And he says, name is Yaakov. Fine. Then he said, the Malach says, okay, no, lo yikore shimcha Yaakov, I'm changing your name. Your name is only Yaakov. Yaakov, from now on your name is going to be Yisrael. So in turn now, the Yaakov, now it's my turn. He asks the Malach, what's your name? So the Malach seemed to refuse, and instead he said, why must you ask my name? Lomo zeh tishal lishmi. So most Mephoshim understand that the Malach's reply to Yaakov was an attempt like, to brush him off, to brush him off and avoid the question, to say, You don't have to know my name. Yaakov Avinu asked him, what's your name? What's the Malach answer? Lama Zatish Alashmi. Did he answer the question? Most of the Farshim say, no, we brushed him off. It's none of your business. Why do you want to know my name? So Shalom said in the name of his Rebbe, Reb Leib Chassman, he said, no, the Malach answered the question. My name is, why must you ask my name? My name is, why must you ask my name? The Hainu, what does that mean? What's the answer? And I said as follows. He says, a name, by its very nature, a name defines the essence of an item. The name defines the essence of an object. The name defines the essence of a person. Everything about a person basically is within the name. As we already pointed out once, that the word neshama, the middle letters is shame. The name of the person that contains his neshama, that contains his essence. And therefore we had in one of the shiurim, we had in one of the sheets, remember, quite a while back, that we said that it's not such a simple thing to change a person's name when one is a chayla. Some have a meaning to do it, some have outright reject that totally. As the Sefer Be'er Mayim Chaim brings down, B'Shem Rebbe Remechel Zlotchever, who said, because the koich achius, the life force of a person is in his name. Unless someone, an Adam Godel, who understands the shayush neshama of a person, he only is able to change the name, making sure that whether he's not removing the life force within the person's name by knowing what name to add. However, he says, otherwise you may be tampering. You want to change the name of a chayla to make it better, you may be making it worse. If I change the name, you may be just taking away the very thing what's giving him life now. So it's not a simple thing. The name is the essence. So Reb Chassam says, so it means like this. So the Malach, which is the Sashal Esav, the Yetzer Hara, he represents everything that's evil. Everything's evil. Now, if a person would really know what the Yetzer Hara is trying to do, he would be able to protect himself. If a person would know the essence of the Yetzer Hara, and the Yetzer Hara would come clean, listen, this is what I want from you, very clearly, and man would really know. The point is, if you recognize the enemy, that's already a half of Yeshua. If you recognize the enemy, it's a double problem when you don't even know who the enemy is. The enemy poses as a friend. Then you're not even able to protect yourself. As the Satmar Ruv once said, he said, now how will we say? Hashem li be'ezvei. What's after that? Bahili. So the Rebbe Tai said this. Hashem li be'ezvei. And it says, v'ani ere b'soinoi. He says, Hashem li be'ezvei, Hashem already helped me v'ani ere b'soinoi, if I can see my enemy. If I can see my enemy, you already helped me. Because now at least I know what to do in order to protect myself. Problem is with the Yetzer Hara, he does not let you know what his attempt is. In other words, Yetzer Hara comes, the reason he's successful in swaying people, and he's able to lure them and ensnare them into a trap, because he camouflages his true self. In other words, the Yetzer Hara appears as somebody that's good, as somewhat exciting, and the Yetzer Hara tries to hide, and he tries to conceal the real evil that is inherent in his suggestions. In other words, let's face it, when a man cheats or lies, he doesn't see himself doing an injustice. I'm avenging a wrong. I have to do this to him because he did this to me, right? And I'm getting what's rightfully mine. People try to rationalize that which is wrong to make it good. These are the things, this is the Yetzer Hara putting all these ideas. Yetzer Hara does not pose as his real self. He's camouflaging. No, I'm trying to talk you into doing what's really good. That's the problem. That's what the Baal Shem Tov, by the way, says. That's the real oinish of the Yetzer Hara, Lo Sedlovoi. The Yetzer Hara, why is he going to be punished, the Yetzer Hara? Lo Sedlovoi, because Baruch Shoichet L'malacham all this, right? Why is he going to shech them for? Why? He was created. He was created to entice people. He was created to lure people. So Baal Shem Tov answered, Mishum Tzaveya, he says. The Yetzer Hara was created to lure you to Avera, to come clean. I want you to do this Avera, and I'm going to, right? I'm going to urge you to do the Avera. But Yetzer Hara tries to turn into a mitzvah. Ah, so now you become fooled. You think it's a mitzvah. He makes it appear like it's a mitzvah. He paints it this way. Like you say, it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara against this body. It's a mitzvah, it's a harigen, and always full of mitzvahs. You say, there have been a pshischa once said, somebody said, on a certain person, he said, it's a mitzvah to speak Lashon Hara on him. So he came to ask the Rebbe, what do you think? So the Rebbe said, okay, it's a mitzvah. Okay, let's... Maybe it's a mitzvah. Maybe it's a mitzvah. So the person went ahead and Rebbe said, maybe it's a mitzvah. So he went ahead and he spoke a lot of lashon hara, and that person, mamish, defamed the person and character assassination. He came back and Rebbe said, listen, let me show you why it was not a mitzvah. I know you before you do a mitzvah. He said, I see you always put on a gartel and you say holy shem yichud before you do the mitzvah. I didn't see you put on a gartel shem yichud. I want to do the mitzvah of lashon hara. That comes from an aveira, he said. Because a real mitzvah, there's a different hachona. You go, your whole attitude to mitzvah is a different way. To this mitzvah, he said, you didn't prepare yourself as you go to a real mitzvah. This is the mitzvah that the Yitzhahar planted in your mind, then in fact that it's a mitzvah. So said of Leb Chasman, Yaakovinu says to the Malchamovis, to the Sotan, to the, what's your name? Not my name, not my essence is. My essence is, why must you ask my name that you don't know me? That's my name. That's my, the name is the essence. The essence of the Yitzhahar is that you don't know who he is. He does not come on the open. He fools you. He makes you think you're doing the right thing. He gives you all types of reasons in your mind to justify whatever you're doing. He did answer the question. My name is, why must you know my name? Because if you know my name, you can protect yourself. So that, in fact, that's what I am. So said Oleb Chasman. So just see, he then explained that he said the following. He said, a farmer comes to the big city. So a farmer comes to the big city for the first time. And it's the first time he ever heard of something called a cinema. First time he saw something called a cinema. There's something about talking and moving pictures. He never saw that. He said, he's a laid-back person from some... Never. First time he comes in, so he enters the theater and he walks through a well-lit lobby, and he was directed into a very large, dark auditorium. So he sees an amazement. He sees a picture in front of him. He can't believe it. He sees a screen and he sees people talking, people running. Could not believe what he sees. He became so excited, he says, and he wanted to see the pictures even more clearly. So he said to himself, he says, I want to see more clearly. So he goes, he takes out a flashlight. I might put more light. Put on more light. I'll see more. As soon as he put on the light, everybody began yelling at him. He said, in a theory, you turn on the light? They said, you don't realize. Shut the light. We can't see a thing. You're ruining the picture. So he said, what's wrong? All I want to do is see a little better. He said, no, in this place we can only see in the darkness. That's what Olam Hazeh is about. The way the Yetzer has a koich over a person is because it keeps into the dark. Because once the room is lit, once the Olam Hazeh is lit and you're able to see the truth, he says, then the Yetzer is out of business. The very first time Rav Sholem said that I ever saw a television, he said, was I'm coming to America, he says, coming to the house of a philanthropist, he says, come to raise money that he came. And he had somebody that went along with him. His name was Rav Doif. Somebody who accompanied him. So they come to a particular house. They approached this house. It was very, very dark. It's very dark. There's nobody visible. So this Rav Doif insisted on ringing the doorbell. And Rav Sholem said, there's nobody home. It's so dark in here. All the lights are off. And this Rav Doif said, don't know. He said, no. He said, I'm sure that people are home. It's not that late at night. You're home. He said, but maybe they're asleep. It's dark. If they are home, but maybe they're asleep, he said, how can you wake them up? Let's leave. And Rav Doif said, no. They're awake. You'll see. But it's as dark as Gehenna inside, he said. So he rings the doorbell, and the philanthropist himself, right, comes out, right, and he welcomes them inside. As he walked past the living room, Rav Sholem was still surprised to see how few lights were in the room. And he noticed that the family was sitting on the floor in a darkened room, he says, and staring straight ahead. They must be sitting shivy, he thought. They're sitting in the dark on the floor. What a pity, he said. Tragedy. Must be a family tragedy. So he inquired, and he told them there's nothing to worry about. Everything was fine. They were sitting in a darkened room simply to watch something called television. So if Sholem said, there is indeed something to worry about. A person who brings darkness into his home, and his family sits on the floor like Avelim, he said, he convinces himself that he brought light into the room. So he said, this is what the Yetzer Hara is trying to tell you. My koyach is, what's my name? It calls my, you don't know my name. In the darkness, he says, that's when I have a koyach. The moment you turn on the light, he says, he's out of business. That's what the Chanuk is about. You're turning on the light, Rabbi Isai, and you see the Emes, and that's the Rivet Hashem.